Recently, the Carroll County School Board voted to ban access to certain books, those deemed by board members to be sexually explicit, in quotation marks. This follows a push by the Carroll County chapter of the group Moms for Liberty, and it follows a trend nationwide to take some books out of schools and libraries. Fighting back are librarians. I am joined this morning by Deborah Caldwell Stone from the American Library Association, the oldest and largest organization of librarians in the country. Deborah is the director of the organization's Office of Intellectual Freedom. Good morning, Deborah. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jane.
So, you know, debates about books and taking books off the shelves of libraries has been going on a long time, but it feels like it's really picked up steam in more recent years. Am I right about that?
You're absolutely correct about that. In the last 2 years, we've seen an enormous quadrupling of the demands to remove books from schools and libraries across the country. And it's something that's truly unprecedented. And we've never really witnessed this in decades of doing this work for libraries and library users across the country.
So what drives this?
Well, right now, I tell you that we're looking at organized campaigns by political advocacy groups that are determined to impose their moral, political, and religious agendas on publicly funded libraries, whether they're school libraries or public libraries. And they're targeting books that generally reflect the lives and experiences of LGBTQ people, and in some cases, books that deal with our history of race, racism, and slavery that don't comport with our beliefs as well. And so we've seen an enormous number of challenges. We've seen an enormous number of books targeted for removal from libraries. I would tell you that the most striking statistic that we've observed is that it used to be that we would get a report of a parent asking for a book to be removed after they saw their student reading it and they looked at the book, they had a conversation with a librarian or a teacher. Now we're seeing groups and individuals who are members of groups go to board with lists of hundreds of books at one time, books that they admit they've never read, and demanding their removal because someone has said that they're inappropriate. And really, that's not how it should work. It should be a conversation between a parent, an educator, and the student involved, and a decision for that family alone, and not removing books because one parent doesn't like it. It really deprives the other parents, the other families, the other students of their right to make their own choices about what to read.
I think in the case that I cited as we started this interview in here locally in the Baltimore area of the Carroll County School Board making this decision to block access to books that it considered, quote, sexually explicit, the librarian was not consulted, complained that the librarian was not consulted. Is that happening? You know, in other words, is the librarian kind of left out of this debate?
Well, actually, the librarian should not be left out of the debate because they are professionals who have trained for years, many of them with graduate degrees, who know child development, who know pedagogy, who are really committed to working within policy and mission of the library to match books to the reader. And that might mean acquiring books that are intended for one group of students that another group of students might have no interest in or might not serve their needs. But because it is a public school, you need that wide range of information. But we are seeing more and more these groups really target librarians and argue that their expertise is not needed and that their personal opinions about these books should supplant the opinions of educated professionals.
Deborah, you kind of touched on this, but I do know parents are fighting back, and we'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, when a child is, what do kids miss when decisions, you know, maybe they're political decisions that are made? What do they miss when books get censored?
Well, what we know happens is that they can't find books that reflect their experiences, their understanding of the world on the shelves of the library, or that they can't find books that expand their understanding of others' experiences. we can look at the data. Many organizations, like First Book, have demonstrated that access to diverse books that reflect a wide range of lives, experiences, identities, actually improves educational outcomes and makes it possible for young people to function more successfully, have better educational outcomes, and have more success as adults and college students when they emerge from their K-12 education. And, you know, beyond that, you know, understanding that there is a, you know, diversity of opinion about topics in the world and being able to grapple with that and respond to that. And, you know, we find that often books are missing for debate teams so that they can understand the other side, or that, you know, a young person says that they can't find books that really help them understand themselves, understand their friends. So often we hear students say that being able to find books that reflect their experience as a gay teen has been life-saving for them. And we're taking all of that away when we allow individuals who have a moral or political agenda to dictate the contents of our public school libraries.
What's the parents' role in this? I think, first of all, let's start with, you know, in terms of the books that are available to the child, what is the parent's role?
Well, certainly parents should be involved in guiding their students' reading and have conversations with their students, even, you know, and have conversations with the librarians and the teachers. You know, and I know that librarians are anxious to work with parents and help match books to the family's values and beliefs on an individual basis. And actually, we have no quarrel with parents who have concerns about materials that their kids are reading and want to have their students guided to particular books. That's fine. What we have an issue with is when a particular group or a parent insists that the library only reflect their beliefs, their views, their morality, and impose that on the entire community. And, you know, every family deserves to find books that reflect their experiences, even those who might be in the minority in the community, and particularly those who belong to marginalized communities.
I think I read on your website that in for like 8 months in August through August of 2023, there were 695 attempts to censor library materials, services, and documented challenges to 1,915 unique titles, a 20% increase from the same reporting period in 2022. So obviously this is something that has really gained steam.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, those were our preliminary numbers. We're well on track to match the 2022 numbers, which were record-breaking. And, you know, when we collect data on an annual basis, we're in the process of validating that data, but we'll soon have numbers. But what the preliminary numbers we're looking at now shows that we're going to have thousands of titles challenged and hundreds of challenges across the country, more than, you know, over 1,000 challenges across the country. And, you know, it is really an effort, I think. And when I say, you know, we've seen this organized effort, we know that there are websites out there like ratedbooks.org and booklooks.org that are being used as a template for bringing censorship to individual communities. And it's really tragic, but it really is incumbent on individual parents who are concerned about their children's ability to have access to a wide range of ideas and information, that they fight back against this tendency to accept the agenda of these groups who want to limit children's education.
The ALA, the American Library Association, is an advocacy organization. So what work are you doing here to kind of counter this effort?
Well, first, I would tell you that ALA is a nonpartisan professional membership organization for library professionals, library workers. But we do advocacy on behalf of library users. An important part of our mission is to assure that every person has access to quality library services in their community. And to support that, we now have an initiative called Unite Against Book Bans, which is a toolkit, an advocacy program for individuals who want to fight censorship in their schools and in their public libraries. There's information about the harms of censorship, the value of having access to diverse books, the talking points, letters to the editor. we are nonpartisan, but there are candidate questionnaires and even a pledge for candidates who want to commit to protecting the freedom to read as part of this toolkit. And we now have tens of thousands of advocates across the country, local advocates, who are committed to showing up at board meetings to speak out against censorship and to preserve everyone's freedom to make their own choices about what to read in their library.
All right, Deborah Caldwell Stone, Director of Intellectual Freedom for the American Library Association. Really appreciate your time this morning. This is obviously an issue that we've seen locally and also nationally. And really appreciate your time. Have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
All right. This is the Jane Miller Show on WBAL News Radio 1090 and FM 101.5.